Blog Talk Radio.
Token of my love, this is what I'll do.
give him out loud right where you are worshiping. Hallelujah. 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 You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Father God. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Good evening, everybody. This is Reaching Out Radio. I'm your host, Evangelist Ed Eberly. The name of our program here is God's Word in Action. God's Word in Action. I'd like to welcome everybody this evening. And I wanted to tell you all, first off, here that our host, that's the founder of the program, not of the program, but of the Reaching Out Radio, Evangelist Montel Fields has an anniversary this evening, so she won't be with us on the program tonight, so we won't be having any call-ins after the ministering of the word and other things I'll be speaking about, so there won't be any call-ins tonight. So she's out having anniversary celebration, so just lift her up in her prayers. I know she needs a good rest and everything, so thank God she's able to get away for a little bit. This evening, I'd like to tell you all, I have a series. It's called God's Promises from Foundation to Finish. Now, this series, a lot of times people look at that and they'll say God's promises, and they think, well, I think I know what that's going to be about. But actually, it's not exactly what you might think in this series right here. It's going to unfold some things. And I'm going to read a couple scriptures right here. This is part one. This is just going to basically be the foundation, because we have several weeks we'll be ministering. We'll be in the promises, but we need to build a foundation because this is so very important. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, it reads like this: after this manner, therefore, pray ye, O Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That was Jesus' prayer. That was a very familiar prayer to each and every one of us here. And we say that many times as Christians. We say, oh, Lord, thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. And we desire that. But, you know, we're going to learn in this series, without the promises of God in our life and operating in our life, it won't be that way. It can't happen in our lives like that. We can't have the will of God be done through our lives except through the promises, because the promises of God mold us to be more like Jesus in every way. There's various promises that the Word of God teaches about, and we have different types. And I know you've never heard anything like this before, I'm sure. Some of these scriptures will be familiar, but we're going to look at it from the view of what God's Word says, that not only blesses us and gives us things through promises, but also molds us and makes us what God wants us to be. God's salvation plan after our rebirth and becoming born again in Christ Jesus are his promises to us. They are provisions for us in all things, most are received by faith. Others come our way as we follow Jesus Christ in obedience. God's promises equip us. They enable us within. They provide for us. He says in 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, we just want to praise you and thank you for another day, for another night to speak your word and to teach your word and to walk in your word and to fellowship, Lord, and to become more like Jesus. I would just ask tonight, Lord, that you would anoint the words that I have to say this evening that you've given to me, that you would just speak through me, that they won't be my words. They'll be what you want the hearers to hear. And, Lord, you said your word will not come back void. So, Lord, I just speak and declare the word that goes forth tonight, Lord, will touch every heart tonight, every heart. And whatever that need might be tonight, whether it's being born again, being saved, being delivered, healing in their bodies, direction in their lives, in their marriage, decisions that need to be made, forces of darkness that have bound people, any curses in these people here, anything that's come against them in a way it has them bound and hurt, Lord. Lord, I just speak deliverance for the captives tonight, that the captives will be set free by your word, because your word sets people free, Father. And I pray when this series is over, each one of us have a greater understanding, a greater anointing, and be set free from anything that hinders us from being what you called each one of us to be. Now, Father, we thank you that you are directing this service tonight, this teaching. You're blessing it, and you're having your way and will in each one of our lives and hearts. And, Father, we'll give you all the praise and the glory, for it's Jesus' name we ask, and with thanksgiving, amen and amen. These promises, the purpose is to mold us to be more like Jesus in every way. You know, the Bible tells us in John 14:12, Jesus said this. He said, the things that I do, so shall you do, even greater things, for I go to the Father which is in heaven. And it's sort of like this, you know, we've got to give an example of this here, because to really understand where we're coming from, Jesus came down here as an example for you and I. He came down here and he went through everything. He demonstrated, he showed what we were to do. He did it all before us. He gave us his written word. And then he went back to the Father. It's on the right hand of the Father. Now, Jesus did that because he knows that this mission needs to be fulfilled on earth. So he gave us the example to follow by, which is his word, his Bible. Then he called us, he anointed us, and he sent us forth. He sent us forth to be his witness. So we are to go forth as his witnesses right here because he's equipped us and he's anointed us. He's given us the commission, and he's told us what to do. He showed us how to do. His Holy Spirit is here to direct us how to do things and enable us to do it. Because we recognize that we can't do anything in our own strength, our own power. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. But when you and I act upon the word of God, that's when God always honors that word, and he will move on that situation, whatever it might be, whenever that happens. So you and I just need to follow the Holy Spirit and the word of God, and he can work through us, you see. Because there was much to do then when Jesus on the earth was demons to be cast out. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He did all these acts and power. But also he showed a character, too. He showed wisdom. He showed character. He showed love, faithfulness, dependability. There's many things about Jesus that many times we just want to make it into the great things that happened with the miracles, raising the dead, and things like that, and that's all part of it. But you see, in order that we can go forth in all things of Jesus and be like Jesus, we have to become all things that he was, you see. We need to become what he was and what he did in his character as well as his ability. And that's where the promises of God come in. And you'll see as we go along in the following weeks here of the things that will build you and I up if we just follow them and if we just walk in them and make them part of us, you see. Because it's in that plan that Jesus said, I'm going to make my disciples like me. I'm discipling these people. They can go forth with the work I started for 3.5 years, and they can finish the job. And the book of Acts is 28 chapters. And I've said a lot of times that we're in Acts 29 right now. We're the Acts of today. The Acts of the Apostles are Acts 28 of all the apostles we read in the book of Acts. But now we're in another chapter, and of course we realize it's not putting in the Bible, but just in figuratively speaking, Acts 29 we are in today because, you see, this mission is not done until Jesus comes back for his church. We still need to be active serving God. So he has given us and making a way for us. So we're going to learn in this teaching here of these promises that he's given unto us, that if we walk in these promises, we're going to be more like Jesus. That we have the purpose of Jesus in our lives, you know, as we take it most of the time, and this is kind of an overall way to speak it, the way to say it here is a definition, but I would say that we have no want or lack, spirit, soul, or body, to be free from all darkness, sickness, bondage, and giving us freedom, provision, and ability in our spirit, soul, and body, enabling us to be and do like Jesus did while he was on the earth. I'm going to read that again. That we have no want or lack, spirit, soul, or body, to free us from all darkness, bondage, and giving us freedom, provision, and ability in our spirit, soul, and body, enabling us to be and do like Jesus did while he was on this earth. You see, the 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when you say that to people, a lot of people say, wow, I shall not want. Wow, everybody wants, everybody lacks. And it's true, we have needs. Each one of us have needs in one way or another. But the thing about it is, through his promises, those needs should be met, you see. And that's what it's about. It's been too long that the church has talked about what the Word of God says, and the Word says this, and Jesus does this, and he does that. But yet, becoming a reality in their lives, they have not done. Many people have not even put an effort forward or used their faith to receive it or really reached out into these things, you see. And that's what we need to do. We need to dig into these things and make them part of our lives, because this is more than what we hear on Sunday, or it's just more than a cliche or words that we just speak. But these words have life. These words heal. These words set people free. These words deliver. They give hope. They give peace. They give love. They give purpose to life. There's life in God's word. His word is life. His word is life as we apply it to our lives. He said in 3 John 1:2, he said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health as thy soul, even as thy soul prospers. 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prosper. And you know what it's really telling us in that verse right there? As our soul prospers, that means as we get into God's word in our being, and as we grow in this word, as we learn, he said, I will that you will prosper in all things and be healthy in your bodies as you grow in the things about me, as you learn about me and my promises. He said, that's what my prayer, that's what my dedication, that's what my purpose is to you, that you'll prosper in every area of life and in your body as you learn and grow and hear of me, you see, of my promises. He says in John 10:10, the thief comes but not for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. And you see, more abundantly doesn't mean like the world has it. You see, the peace the world has, Jesus said, I didn't come to give you peace like the world does, but the peace I give you the world doesn't give. He doesn't come to give us an abundant life like the world calls abundant life, like being a multimillionaire or a billionaire and every yacht that there is, airplanes and all the things of the world. That isn't just abundantly. Now, it's true, material things are abundance. They have their part, too. But an abundant life is a healthy life, a life of peace, a life of provision, a life of purpose. It's everything, you see. It's not having a lot of money and then being sick, or not having peace or peace of mind, but it's having everything that God has to offer you, you see. It's having everything that God has to offer, and, of course, the world can't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. There was a song years ago, the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. So God prospers us, and that doesn't come with sorrow, as the Word of God tells us. What God prospers you and I with doesn't come with sorrow. He doesn't add sorrows to it, but what we receive from the world, when we do it the world's way, there's many sorrows. There's much worry and fear of people taking it from us and things like that. We don't have peace about it. But God come to give us an abundant, peaceful life. We can have really a little bit of heaven here on earth, a little bit of heaven, even though we have our struggles. But there's an abundant, joyful life that makes it worth it all. It makes it worth it all. And this is what we're talking about. We're going to learn that in these promises. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and 21 says, My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, but keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Okay, we're talking about purpose. We're talking about purpose. And the purpose here, his word is life. Life, period. That doesn't just mean life in a certain area. That means everything. Everything the Word of God touches is life. It's like a flashlight. Anytime you shine a flashlight, any darkness is always light there. And that's the way God's Word is. In every situation, it's like turn a light on in darkness, in any area of darkness, whether it's health, finances, it's torment of minds, need delivered. Maybe you have a bad habit you can't kick. Maybe you're hooked on drugs. Maybe you're hooked on alcohol, pornography. But when you sign God's word, that light on it, it has to dispel darkness. Light dispels darkness. So he said that if we keep it in the middle of our hearts, in other words, give attention to my words. Put your ear to what I'm saying. Listen. Get a hold of this thing is what he's saying. And don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. In other words, keep it before you so much that when something comes your way, right away you use the word of God. You don't receive the negative thing that comes your way. You use thus saith the word of God against it, just like Jesus did when he was tempted three times of Satan there. He used God's word. Then he said, they are life to them, those that find them, and health to their flesh. There again, life is promised to you and health to your body. Health to your body is promised to you right there, you see, by his word, by his word. And you know, something really a lot of people don't think about is we talk about the promises of God. A lot of times people think, well, the promise is to me, so I can have this, I can be this, I can do this. And that's true. It's a personal thing, which is another part B to this right here. That's part A. But part B is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. In other words, he wants to prosper you, spirit, soul, body, financially, every way, help every way he can, that you will have something to give others. You see, if we don't have anything, if his grace isn't abounded towards us, if we aren't receiving, we can't give, can we? We can't give what we don't have. It's just like money. Have you ever found yourself wanting to give to somebody, a ministry or somebody who's in need, but you just didn't have it? We see, he says, God, his word says, he's able to make this grace abound towards you that you always have in sufficiency. In other words, you're going to have that money to give that ministry or whatever situation was or that person was great in need, and all things that may abound to every good work. And every good work, not just speaking of money, but you can have understanding and truth and wisdom and peace and joy and be an encourager, that you're going to be able to lift people up by the Spirit of the Lord. You're going to be uplifting when you're around them. You're going to speak his word. You're going to be encouragement. Even your very face, without even opening your mouth, just seeing you, there's people say, wow, there's something about being around that lady. There's something about being around that man, because they just lift me up when I'm around them. I just feel so good. I just sense that there's something about them, you see. Even the apostles, you know, in the time that they were before the Jewish priests and everybody, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they recognized Peter and some of these unlearned fishermen. They said, surely these men have been with Jesus. Because he recognized and the Jewish leaders recognized these ignorant fishermen, most of them. And they weren't anything far as being executive type, you would say, or really polished people. They were just simple, plain fishermen, but yet they saw something in Peter. They saw something in these apostles. They said, truly, these people must have been with Jesus. This man must have been with Jesus. You see, when you and I are with Jesus and his word, it shows in our face. It shows in our countenance, in our flesh. Did you ever take notice of people that knew the Lord? There was something about their faces that, man, they looked 20 years younger and sometimes than people who were around them, or 10 years younger, however it might be. There's a countenance, that's on our faces. There's something on our faces of that joy that people see. They can sense it without even our words. Being in their presence. How many times have you been in the presence of people and they knew that you were a Christian, they started asking you questions or bringing their problems to you or showing respect for you, but you didn't open your mouth about anything. You didn't identify who you were, but just in your very presence, you see. That very presence, when you're in his word and you don't leave that word depart from your eyes, but you keep in the middle of your heart, that life that he's speaking about here in Proverbs 4:22, unto those that find him and help all their flesh, reflects, you see. So we want to be witnesses. We all want to be greater soul winners and bring more people to Jesus Christ. We want to be all more effective than we are. Amen? And not only by what we learn and speak out of our mouth, but just our very countenance, by going the way of the word of God, will reflect to these people these things. So you see, there's a testimony and a witness in that we can be greater soul winners, reach more people, see more people saved, healed, delivered, and set free and on fire for Jesus Christ. It's a thing that we aren't silent about it, folks. We have to identify our faith. And, you know, if you really have the joy of the Lord in your heart, you can't keep it in. You can't keep it in. You know, it's just like if you won $1 million somewhere, say you won $1 million in a contest, you think you could keep it in? You would be so excited. Wow, I won $1 million. Wow, look what happened here. But we have something greater than $1 million in Jesus Christ. We have something far greater. And many times we just don't realize what we have. We don't dig into it. We don't leave the Holy Spirit minister to us. We don't just get in that little room and lock ourselves in and say, Lord, just minister to me and just think about his word. Just think about him. Just praise him and just start to love him there and just be in his very presence. It's in that very presence you feel that sweet spirit, that sweet anointing, and it gives you peace and joy, and you'll have times that you don't even want to come out of that room. There's times His presence is on you that you don't want to leave. You say, Lord, just let me here. Just keep me here. I don't want to leave this place. I just want to stay here all eternity. That's how you feel. And, you know, that's just a little bit of heaven, folks, for what lies ahead for us right here. That's just a little sample that you and I are receiving here that actually overwhelms us while we're on earth. That's the kind of God we serve. That's what we're talking about. It's not just some dry thing to sing a couple hymns and preach a sermon, put a little bit of money in your offering plate, and that's it. It's an excitement. It's an exciting life. The Christian life, if you are led by the Holy Spirit and following the Holy Spirit and leaving God have your life, is the most exciting life you can have. These people in Hollywood talk about exciting lives, but these lives are nothing compared to what a Christian's life is, because ours is guided by God. And is there anybody or anything greater than God? Of course not. So this is an exciting thing, folks. And that's what these promises are about. That's what they're about. And there's so much when we get into these promises right here that if we just take these things seriously and believe them, it's going to make something out of each and every one of us. We're going to be powerhouses for Jesus Christ if we just leave these ministered to us by His word. Okay? Promises have conditions, don't they? In other words, every promise in God's word, most every promise is a condition to. In fact, all promises have conditions in the way we live our lives and what we do. They have conditions to it, because the ones that we'll be speaking about here are conditions, because we have a part to act or a part to play in it somehow. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. You see, we come to God, we must believe God is God. He hears, He is God. And He rewards. In other words, that means that He answers what I'm praying for. If I have a right heart and He's heard my promise, I'm praying according to what His word teaches, whether it's healing, prosperity, being set free from something, giving strength, giving wisdom, whatever it might be, He not only hears it, but He rewards. That means He brings it to pass. The things I desire when I pray, believe that I receive them, I have them, I will have them. They already began in the Spirit, and they will become a reality to me. All I have to do is just simply believe that and act like it, and I'll become it. You believe it, speak it, act like it, and you will become it. That's what God's Word says. That's not a hope-so thing, or, boy, I just hope it does happen to me. No, you don't hope it doesn't. You know it will happen to you. It's as sure as if you take a book in your hand, you hold it out, and you drop it. It's going to fall to the floor, right? Well, the law of gravity, that is. This is the law of the Word of God right here. He cannot lie. He's not a man that He can lie. And we're going to be speaking about that a little later here, even this evening. Okay? Galatians 5:6 says it. In Jesus Christ, there is neither circumcision that avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. You know, faith works by love. We can't have hatred or something in our hearts and just not thinking right, have a wrong attitude and everything, expect faith to work. Because God framed this world. He spoke the things into existence. He did everything as what? An act of love. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and I. It's an act of love. Everything that Father God did was in love, and He is faith, you see. So I cannot use faith or the God kind of faith and expect anything to happen if I don't have that love in my heart, you see, because He had the love, and I must have love in my heart. And I'm not talking about feelings. I'm talking about a poor decision that I determined I'm going to love people in spite of what they're doing to me, what they're saying to me, what's happening. I must determine that each day before I get out of my bed. I need to say, Lord, put my full armor on, but also determine I choose to love people today no matter what happens. And you are challenged during that day. I'll guarantee you, I'm challenged during that day. We're all challenged. And, you know, we're challenged more today to walk in love than anything. But you and I need to make that decision. Say, Lord, help me. I want to walk in love this day no matter what happens. Help me. Because I'm ministering to myself. I need to say this too every day. We all do. We all need to say this. But say, I determined to walk in love today. Lord, I ask You to help me do it, because I know I can't do it in my own strength. But not on my feelings, but because it's an act of my free will. Okay? The next thing, we're not even on the promises. We're just talking a few things here that you and I need to get straight in our lives before we even think about the other things, you see. A lot of times people talk about the great rewards and great things of God, but you and I need to know what we need to do that it'll work for us. Amen? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Okay, his eyes are looking over the whole earth to show himself strong to somebody that's heart's right towards him, a right heart, a heart of love, a heart that means business with him, a heart that wants him, a heart that has no unforgiveness, a heart that is wants to serve him, it wants to please him. He's looking for that man. He's looking for that woman, that boy, that girl. They go to and fro, and what's he going to do when he finds them? He says to show himself strong in there in the behalf of them. Okay, he's going to show himself strong in our personal lives and the ministries that we have. He's going to show himself mighty to us and through us. But you and I need to do that. We need to come to the place that our hearts are right as we come before him. Now, something a little hindrous is in Psalm 66:18. Now, listen to this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity, you know what that means, if I regard iniquity? That simply means if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I can be thinking about doing something I shouldn't do. I can be thinking a lustful thought about a woman. I can be thinking about maybe cheating to somebody, lying to somebody, or maybe punching somebody in the nose. I can regard some act that does not please God. And if I regard or have that in my heart and wrestling with that and kind of anticipating that, the Lord will not hear me. That separates us from God, you see. So you see, you and I can't be entertaining these little things that we justify ourselves with. Well, I'm mad at this person because look what they did to me. This person did this. This person did that. I can't forgive them. I can't do right for these people anymore. They hurt me. They lied to me. They cheated me. They knifed me in the back. And that's true. That's true. In the world, you'd be justified to do what you would do. But I want to tell you something. When you and I start justifying ourselves of what we should have coming to us and what the world does, we lose out with God. Because what happens here? God won't hear me. So what does that mean if God doesn't hear me? That means that nothing's going to come my way from God. And you know, the only one we hurt when we hold odds against anything or anybody is not that person. We hurt ourselves, don't we? And the worst way we can hurt ourselves is cut our fellowship and ourselves off from God. That's the worst thing we can do. And is it worth it to get a pound of flesh or be ready to do somebody in or just hold a grudge against them or something because they did something to us? Forgiveness, love, is not benefiting out of the person that somebody wronged you. It's benefiting you. You're doing it for yourself. It's not for them because they won't know if you did it or not. They aren't feeling anything, but you're the one that's feeling the pain if you don't have God hearing what you're saying to him, if you don't have fellowship. Now, here's something else for husbands and wives. This is a good thing to remember, husbands and wives. And 1 Peter 3:7, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." I tell you what, I had an experience a number of years ago. This is probably one of the best experiences, but the husband and wife had a problem between the two of them. The wife would look like she was on her deathbed. They had called me down to pray for her there because they said, "Well, she's sick." Husband wanted me to come down, so of course I went down. And by the way, I never got to pray for him. I went in there, and somehow the Holy Spirit had me sitting between them, and it was almost like being a referee, even though there wasn't any fighting or anything like that, even harsh words, but they were discussing things, and when it was all said and done, they made up between them because they had something between them there. They were hindered. She was hindered from being well, hindered from prayers being answered, just hindered, period. Now, I could have prayed for him. Jesus could have prayed for him, and it would have done no good because, you see, there was a blockage there. But the Lord opened that door that they got out the differences right there. And immediately she received her healing and she glowed like I haven't seen anybody glow. And she told me the next day, she said she did twice the work that day, that next day that she ever did in her life. But I could have prayed for them. It would have done no good. They didn't need prayer. They just needed to settle something. So something we have to be so careful of as husbands and wives, that we have odds with our wife or the wife has odds with us, so we have something going on. Because I'll tell you, the best time to get into a problem with your wife or husband or however it might be, whether you're the husband or if the lady is your wife, you know, husband and wives, because they're both guilty of it, is when you're going to church. And many times it can be the pastor of the church, whether it's a lady, whether it's a man, or have some part in the church. And the enemy tries to bring up something going on the way to church to cause you to be out of sorts when you get there, because he knows if he can get you out of sorts, that you're not going to be any good. You're going to be a hindrance. You're going to be a blockage of what he wants to do. So that's why he tries to bring enmity between the husband and the wife, and not just on Sundays, but any day that he can do this, because he knows he can mess your fellowship up, your joy, your prayers being answered. He can cause you to be separated and just wobbling in the dark, you see, because when we are separated from God and he doesn't hear us, we're in the dark. We're kind of groping around and fumbling around. We're just out of it, you see. And if he gets you and I in that place, then he can pick us off if he wants to, you see. So you and I need to guard against that. We husbands need to give honor to our wives and respect to them and help them. And it's not a 50-50 proposition, by the way. It's 100%, 100%. The man gives all to the wife, the wife gives all to the man. It's not a 50-50 proposition. It's not, I have a bank account here and she has a bank account there. No, that isn't the way it works. We put everything in together. We're as one. And you want me to tell you something about being one? I just heard another testimony of this. Several years ago, before I wrote my first book here, there was a lady that prophesied over my wife and I, and she spoke about my wife would be writing a book. Okay, well, it wound up a year later, it wasn't my wife, it was I that wrote the book. And we thought about that thing, and I said, you know, I think, and this is, I believe the Spirit of God gave me this. I said, you know, my wife and I are one. So since my wife and I are one, what happened was she couldn't distinguish because we are one. Well, I accepted that as gospel right there. Recently, I had somebody else that I'd heard, and I don't remember exactly what it was about, but anyhow, they were misunderstood. In fact, it was a minister that ministered to the church I was at here a few weeks ago, my wife and I, and there was a thing that was said to him and his wife, and anyhow, they said it to the wrong person. It ended up, and he said the very same thing I said to him. So the Lord used that minister to confirm to me that's what happened in our situation. Because we are one, you couldn't distinguish it because you're one. You and your wife are one, and we need to operate that way in our spiritual lives, in our social lives, our home domestical lives, everything. We need to love one another, you see. We need to be willing to give and be willing to give of ourselves and, as a matter of fact, to compromise, not in godly doctrines or something we would do wrong, but say that you want to have a ice cream and your wife likes vanilla ice cream and you like chocolate ice cream. Well, man, it wouldn't hurt to say, well, hey, we'll get what you want. We're going to get the vanilla ice cream, what you want. You see, we need to give up our what we like sometimes to please others, you know. We need to do that from time to time, not always wanting what we want. We need to be willing to do that because a lot of people are self-centered. They only want to have what they want to have, you see. And we have to learn to stop being self-centered and helping people because I believe that shows the love of Jesus Christ. Not claiming our rights, but being willing to give up our rights to please and help somebody else. Amen? Okay. Mark 11:25-26 I'm going to read. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Okay, I read these verses many times because they're so very important. I didn't read Mark 11:23-24, which speaks of speaking to the mountain. And then also Mark 11:24, the things you desire when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have them. They are the power of faith verses. That many times when people are preaching or teaching about faith, they use these verses. I use them all the time. But those two verses before this, and by the way, they're all four verses, 23, 24, 25, and 26 are in red letters. So that was Jesus saying this. And isn't it kind of funny that he put the power verses of prayer and standing in the mighty things, and then right under that, he said, when you stand praying, forgive. In other words, he's saying, follower, my child, as you follow me, when you're praying and believing, he said, if you have ought against somebody, if you have a bad taste in your mouth to somebody, if there's something wrong there, he said, you need to forgive before you do anything, really, because your prayer is hindered right there, because your Father will not forgive you your trespass, and he won't hear a word you say when you're holding ought against somebody. You know, there's no person that's any more miserable than a person that has unforgiveness in their heart. And, you know, I've heard said this, and I don't mean everybody that has it, but people that have arthritis, many times they become crippled up or arthritic and all kind of just all feebled up or wrinkled up because of that attitude. That's a spirit, you see. And what we do in our spirits and our actions will actually come in or onto our flesh. In other words, our flesh brings results of what our spirit man does. It's just like hating, you know. They tell me, doctors will say that when you have a certain attitude, hating or something like this, it'll bring certain juices out that will actually hurt your organs. And there's various things that you apply that you're not to do that hurts you. They have a physical situation will happen because of it, you see. It's not just a spiritual law that you get it, but it has effect on your body. Your body is affected by what you do spiritually with your attitude, your thoughts, and what you say. Your body is affected by that. So many people are suffering illness right now, and the reason they're suffering illness a lot of times is because it's a spiritual problem. In fact, most illnesses are spiritual problems, and we need to make sure that we have no unforgiveness towards anybody. And I'm going to say this again about unforgiveness. It's not a feeling, because you might not feel like forgiving somebody for something. They might have done something horrible to you. But yet, in order for you to get free yourself, in order for you to give them over to the Lord, as an act of your will, you must say, Lord, I choose to forgive so-and-so because what they did, and Lord, I ask you to also forgive them. There's a church, I guess a year ago, it was an AME church, I believe, that a killer came in. It was just recently. He murdered, I don't know how many people that were in there. And I forget exactly where it was at, but anyhow, it was all over the news, and most people who are listening to this will remember that. It was a black church, and these people in this church, I saw these people on television there, and they said, we forgive this man. We forgive every one of them there, and these were families. They might have been mothers, daughters, uncles, brothers, sister of these people. But they said, we forgive this fellow that did it. It was a young man that did it, and they forgave him. They forgave him for murdering their loved ones. Now that is really, that's something, isn't it? They forgave, but what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He said, forgive them. So he wants you and I to be that way, too. And I know it's hard. You'll say, well, that's easy to say there, Van just did, but wow, what a thing to do. Well, you can't do it, neither can I. But you know, the Lord will see you through that. He'll give you the strength to do it, because you can't do it in your own strength. Because when we talk about the things of God, many times, things that we say, well, I couldn't begin to do that. And of course, God knows you can't begin to do it. But that's why his strength is made perfect in your weakness, because you choose to do the right thing. And he's going to show you himself through you, that you're going to do it, and you're going to be amazed. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. He said, behold, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. What's your weak in? And we all would be weak in that area. Many areas we are weak in. In fact, Jesus went so far as to say, without me, you can do nothing at all. So you see, we can't do anything. We are nothing. But you and I need to start to learn to stop seeing things in this life on our own ability. Well, I can do this, but I can't do that. We're considering what we can do instead of what Jesus can do through us. Amen? Consider what Jesus can do through you. Now, what can he do through you? What his word says, if you dare to believe it. He does through you what his word says. What his word says he will do through you. And he purposely made it that way that people could see that, hey, that wasn't Ed doing that. That wasn't Evander's Ed doing that. I know that he didn't get that man healed. I know that they didn't come out of the casket. I know he didn't do that. And who gets the glory for it? Well, God gets the glory for it. It's not a man. No man. I don't care who it is. You never worship any man. You know, any man, I don't care if it's the greatest man of God that ever lived. And one of the greats we all know is Apostle Paul. He's definitely a great man of God. But listen, Apostle Paul would be like a gift. You know, when you get a gift, say a Christmas gift or a birthday gift, somebody will hand you a package. And it might be a beautiful package, you know, beautiful ribbon, beautiful paper. But how long do you look at that beautiful ribbon and paper? Usually not very long, because you want to see what's inside the package. What really counts is what is in the package, right? So don't give credit for the outside wrapping. All that is a wrapping. But it's what inside that counts, you see. So we never give credit to people. The only thing we can say about any of the greatest men or women of God was simply they just obeyed the Lord. They obeyed him. The Lord did it. They just obeyed him and let them use him like a vessel. In other words, somebody writes a great novel, right? They write a great novel or a great book. They don't get the credit for it. They were just the ink pen in the hands of the author, right? God is the author. We are the ink pen, and we just go where the fingers of God directs us. See, that's what it boils down to. That's all that it is. It has nothing to do with you and I. It's not our ability. It's not our wisdom, our strength, or anything about us. That's what's so neat about it, you know. No matter how smart we are, how rich, how poor, how old, the color of our skin, what we've been through, how bad we've been, how good we've been, he uses us, you see. He uses us. The great one, and I've said this often, and I need to probably say it more, Peter was very uneducated, yet Paul. And the thing about it with Peter, Peter was just about as good. He was just about as strong as Paul was. He was just about as strong as Paul in his walk. And in fact, he was given more notoriety for the simple reason that Paul wrote most of the half of the New Testament, a little over half of the New Testament. But yet he was uneducated. So that's showing you and I. That's showing you and I that we, no matter how much education or how lack of education we have, we can be used. They're pretty equal in what they did, you see, uneducated and educated. So there's no, we all are on the same plateau, you see. There isn't such a thing where he got a better start in life or she got a better start. They're from the other side of the tracks. They're this, they're that. No, no, no. No excuses, people. There's no excuse that anybody have. I don't care if you're black. If you're Indian, if you're white, you're yellow, I don't care what color your skin, what you've been through, or what has had a hold of you, in God, you can do anything if the Word of God says he will lift you out of it. God's Word will lift you out of anything. You're without excuse. So you see, you have the same options as anybody else. You can be in the prison and have just as much grace and just as much everything else as a man in the penthouse. So there isn't such a thing as an excuse. Well, I didn't have this. I got this bad start. Or my mama did this, my daddy, or I was this or I was that. There isn't such a thing as that. That doesn't exist in the things of God. Now, as we spoke of those things right here, he says First John chapter 3, verse 21, when we have these issues straightened out in our life, and this is what it yields. This is the fruit that comes forth with a right heart. This is what we have to have, folks. In 1 John 3, 21 and 22, he says, Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. You know, if you've done something wrong, and you people know this, every one of us knows this, we've all been this route. When you've done something wrong or you haven't repented of something or you know you're doing something you shouldn't do, when you go to prayer, how much confidence do you have in that prayer being answered? Well, I've done that before. You know how much confidence I had? I might as well not open my mouth because I was just speaking, and I don't think the prayer went beyond the ceiling. That's as far as it went. I had no confidence. That means I had no faith, right? You can't have faith. And that's why he said if you have unforgiveness, that's why if you have a heart that's not right, you won't receive it because, well, naturally, because you're wrong, you wouldn't. But you wouldn't be able to muster up the faith for it, you see. It's like good and wet, bad water coming out of a faucet at the same time. It can't happen. It's either one or the other. So if you have a bad attitude, hey, your faith is not there. If you have a right heart, it is there. It's one or the other. There's no gray area. So we have confidence in the Lord if our heart doesn't condemn us. We have confidence that our prayer is going to be answered because we know our heart is right. And that's half of the battle right there. And the 22nd verse says this, And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandments, we love one another and love God with our heart and soul. We're walking in love. And do the things that are pleasing his sight. Well, you know, when we're pleasing the Lord, we do the things that please him. That means we're walking in obedience to him. We aren't doing things that we know are wrong. And that doesn't mean we don't make a mistake. It doesn't mean we don't say or do something wrong. We just say, Lord, forgive me, and start from there, you see. It's not in mistakes or sins or things that we do wrong. But it shouldn't be a regular practice, you see. In other words, we should be getting better at this every day as we grow in the Lord. As we yield to the Lord, we're never going to reach perfection. But we're going to be like Paul. He said, I press towards the mark of the prize, which is in Christ Jesus. I press towards that mark. We're pressing towards the mark of perfection, even though we realize we won't attain it here. But you know, you want to hear something? That's what the grace of God is for. It isn't, you know, the grace of God, many people frustrate the grace of God or they abuse it. They say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. God will forgive me. I can just do it. They try to abuse that grace. But, you know, the grace, God's grace was intended for you and I when we do our best. And he knows we still will fall up short. At our very best, we fall up short, right? And that's what his grace is there for, to make up where you and I fall short, but we're putting forth the honest effort and doing what we know to do, you see. He's made an air room in there for you and I. He said, hey, I know my children aren't going to be perfect in their walk, so this is what my grace is for. But he said, I would like my children to be obedient to me and not try to frustrate my grace or take advantage of me, you see. And God is a very graceful God, you know. And I'm amazed many times how he puts up with things. But I'm telling you something, folks. There's an end to that grace. You can say no to God so many times. You can do certain things to God so many times, and your heart will become hard, harder, and harder, and you can get to a place of no return. So it's a dangerous thing to disobey God and not do what he wants you to do, because it's only going to hurt you. Anytime we say no to God, no matter what it is, we're the ones who will lose out if we disobey that voice, you say. So we need to do the things that please him. Now tonight, I have another phase right here that I'm going to end it with, there's several verses here, but I want to speak about the surety of God's promises to us. God is a promise keeper. He's not a promise breaker. How many times have you and I broken promises to God or said we're going to do this and that and we failed? How many times have we done it to one another? We've all been guilty of that. There's none of us that haven't. But you see, right now, as I minister this word to you and as you hear this word, you and I need to determine that we're just not going to do that anymore and we shouldn't fall short of it, and we're going to be less and less of doing anything wrong, you see. We need to put forth an honest effort, not just hear a message and say, well, that sounds good, and then not go out and apply it to our lives. And that's why we have to keep that word, as we listened to a while ago. Remember in Proverbs 4, 20 through 24, keep it, or 20 through 22, keep it in front of our eyes. Keep it in front of our eyes. Don't forget it, because it's so easy to forget something and then just to allow our flesh to dictate, you see, and our actions and reactions to the things that come against us in life. Now, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Every promise, now watch this, all the promises of God are in him are yea. That means yes. And in him, amen. That means so be it. Yes, so be it in modern day English. All the promise of God, everything the word of God declares in there is yes, so be it. If you and I dare to apply that promise, stand on that promise and work it out, God will show it and do it through you and through me as we meet that condition. He will show it. He'll do it through us. And basically the condition is a right heart. To begin with, there's some things that we have, there's various things that will say about the promise, but if we have a pure, honest, open heart, and our heart condemns us not, that promise is ours, you see. The only thing that keeps us from it, sometimes if it doesn't manifest right away, if we give up on it, you see, if we leave the devil steal it from us. But it's a sure thing, folks. That promise in him is yes, and so be it. It's happening. It's not going to happen, or I hope it happens. It's going to happen, you see. And by the way, God is never early. He's never late. He's always on time. God is always on time. And I tell you, there's times in my life, being honest about it, let's be real, let's be transparent. I've said, Lord, you're late on this thing. What in the world is going on? But yet I've learned he had a purpose in it. Didn't he have a purpose back in the day? You remember when he raised Lazarus from the dead? Remember how Martha and Mary were saying, hey, Jesus, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. You would have healed him. But now it's too late. And, of course, they thought that was it. In other words, that was the time right there, and the time was past. He died, and that was it. No more hope. But Jesus purposely didn't go there till the man died, because he had another motive. He had another purpose, didn't he? And, of course, we know the story, and I'm not going to go into it. He rose him from the dead, didn't he? So his purpose was to raise Lazarus from the dead. So you say, well, he was late as far as healing. Well, in the sense of what people would have thought, yes, but in what he wanted to do, he wasn't late. Remember, God's ways and thoughts aren't ours, but they're above them, right? And according to Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. So if we try to use our mental intelligence, well, I think this should be here, I think that should be there, you know, we're going to bat a perfect record wrong every time. I've learned that. So you see, I don't bat that anymore because I learned that, hey, I don't get anywhere doing that. So I just simply take it as it comes by the word of God and follow the lead of the Holy Spirit and simply trust. Some people say, well, it's blind trust. No, it's not. If you're trusting God and you have peace in your heart, it's a sure deal. I don't care what any circumstance or any person says. It's a sure thing. God will see you through. Know that. Just have a heart of peace, a heart that you have confidence towards God. And I tell you what, if it's according to the word of God, it's yours. I don't care what you might think or what people might say, but that's God. Okay, Numbers 23, 23rd chapter, 19th verse. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Let me read that again. That's so important. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In other words, he's not a man like you and I that he would lie. Or the son of man. You see, Jesus wasn't the son of man in the sense of who his father was. The Holy Ghost was his father, you see. He had God's blood in him. So he's not a liar. He can't lie. He couldn't lie, you see. He didn't lie. He chose not to lie. He didn't lie. And isn't he going to make good what he said? God is God. He can't lie. God can't lie. He's perfect. He can't lie. So you have to take, and I have to take what he says as God's word. God's word. You know, that's a message in itself that I wouldn't have to, I could bring that up next week and teach on that. It's God and his word. God and his word. We need to get a vision of God and his word, period. God's word is true. That's God speaking. This Bible is God speaking. This is what God is saying. Not some men, even though the men penned it in a 1,500-year time, for some 40 scholars, but yet these were words that came from the Holy Ghost that didn't come from these men. And a matter of fact, and I can't tell you this, but I know there is, and I'm sure some of you probably heard that, the way it all comes together mathematically and everything, I've seen it, and it's perfect. It'd be impossible for anybody, any man to have written it, because everything fits together perfectly where it would be ridiculous for it not to be. I like to see that again sometime, what that was. That there's a book on it. It's about numbers, and it shows you things in there that it was just put together perfectly, that the odds have been a zillion to one for any one of the things to say. So that proves that only God could do it. So God wrote this book called the Bible. Amen. He wrote this book through an individual. There again, he was the author. These men were the pens. They were the pens in his hand, but he spoke to them. That's it. They had no influence on it, but it's his pure word. Because you don't think God would trust any man with his word, do you? Well, of course not. He has a pen that he guards over his word, because if he wasn't giving the word to a man or a woman, they could say, well, hey, why did I go into hell? You didn't give me the right word. This is wrong here. But God gets it to you and I that we know it, you see, that you and I are without excuse. Okay, in 1 John 5:14-15, this is are two powerful verses here. These verses here should be enough. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us, right? And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Okay? If we have confidence, if we ask anything according to his will. Now, what is his will? Well, his word is his will. What's his word? The Bible, right? His word is his will. So we establish that. We look at the Bible, and by his stripes you are made whole. You are healed. You were healed in 1 Peter 2:24. Isaiah 53:5 says you are healed. It's been a past procedure there in 1 Peter 2:24. It was done 2,000 years ago. At that time it was, and there was a number of years. It wasn't 2,000, but now 2,000 years after the fact that Jesus died and shed his blood on the cross, you were healed when he went to that cross. Okay, so we have confidence in him, anything according to his word, which his word declares. Now, we believe that. Okay, he hears us. He's not hard of hearing. He doesn't wear a hearing aid. God hears us talking, right? Okay. Now, we know if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. We don't hope we have the petitions that we desire of him. We know that we have those petitions. But how convinced are that we know that we have the petitions we desire of him? So often we're so flighty about these things. In other words, we know it's what the word says, and we know he heard us, and we know if he hears it, we have what we ask of him, and we know that we have the petition we desire of him. But because of feelings, because of circumstances, because of our mind, because maybe what people say, we leave this distraction distract us a little bit, like Peter allowed the winds that came against him when he walked on water towards Jesus. He was walking perfectly in the supernatural, but when he looked at the circumstances and situations of life, he sank, you see. And you and I need to recognize that's all they are. They're to get us off the beaten path that we don't receive the promise. We're to have confidence in those things after we do that. Now, Mark 11:24 says, the thing that you desire, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So whatever you say, therefore, things that you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Don't believe that you're going to receive them. I've had times in pastoring, I had one man years ago, I'll never forget him. He came up to the altar and prayed for him to be healed. I'd lay hands on him and pray. And if something didn't happen immediately, he said, well, God will heal me some other time. In other words, he took it that God didn't heal him then, but he will heal me. That's wrong. That's what you call hope. That isn't faith. Faith now is. Faith believes that you've got it now. You're not going to get it. You have got it, you see. And unless you have a belief that I have it now, and no matter what I feel, if I feel it and it manifests itself or if it doesn't, it's just as real, you see. A lot of times people are waiting on an instantaneous miracle. And I've seen many miracles instantaneously. I've seen blind eyes open hours after the fact. I've seen all types of things in my lifetime. But the thing about it is, it's just as real whether you've seen them eyes open right there or if it happens a later date. Some are instantaneous. They're all miracles, but some happen immediately. Even with Jesus, remember the lepers, they were healed as they went their way, the scripture says, 10 lepers, right? They were healed as they went their way. It wasn't right away. You see, it's real. It begins in the spirit. And that's why we speak the word and we thank him and we say, Lord, I thank you that I'm healed and I declare it and I believe it and I speak the word, I am healed. Because as we speak that word, that reinforces it, you see, just like when God spoke the world into existence. We reinforce what the word says. We're watering that word into manifestation. But how do you think the devil steals them? You know, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He steals that healing or whatever it might be from us by discouraging us and get us to a place that, well, maybe I didn't receive it. Well, I thought I did, and before you know it, I don't have it, you see. And that's what happens. That's how he steals it. He robs you, steals your faith from you. That's why the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take up a force. We have to be violent by what the word of God says. We need to stand in that word and claim that word for ourselves and refuse and stand on that thing until it becomes reality in our lives. This is what God is trying to make out of each one of us in this time, because this is a day of days that never was before in this earth. This is the most powerful time for provision, the transfer of the wealth from the wicked to the godly, to the mighty moves of God. This is a greater time that is spoken of, and I'm seeing it all over, and I'm hearing it all over. God has given me this fact in my last week's message when I spoke about the vision I had right there, what God had spoke to me over 30 years ago. I had taught and preached this for years and years, and God just showed me the time, and the time is now, is what I spoke last night or last week in that message. And the time is now for these things. So you and I have to get to the place we have extravagant faith. That's one of the prophecies of the last days is extravagant faith, daring to believe God, knowing that God can move that mountain. He can provide that $1 million. He can heal that body that's about ready to die. He can give you hope where there's none. He can make a way where there's no way. He says in Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, he said, behold, I do a new thing. Don't you see it? And, of course, he is doing a new thing. We're seeing it. But he said, I will make a way in the wilderness, and I'll put rivers in your desert. In other words, what you don't see, He says, I'm telling you something, and you don't see it because there's a wilderness there. You're saying, how in the world can I do this? There is wilderness there. How can I do this? He said, I'm going to make a way in that wilderness that you will know. I'm going to lead you. Then after he does that, you'll say, well, that's good. I'm led. I see it. But I have a need. I have a need of money. I have a need of people. I have a need of this. I have a need of that. He said, I'll put rivers in that desert. So you get to your destination and it's dry. He's going to put a river right in the middle of that desert to supply the need that you're going to be able to do and be what he wants you to do and be. He will do that for you. That's the kind of a God we serve. That's God. This isn't a religious thing. This is God. This is the kind of God we serve, and this is what the world is looking for, a hero, and that hero is Jesus Christ. But they're looking for men and women that will stand up for the things that I'm speaking about tonight, operate and talk and walk in these things, and they're looking for those kind of people, you see. If the people, if the Christians would take a hold of these truths and walk in these things, the world would be convinced because we'd be showing them something. But there's too many times that we act no better than what the world does. We're just as defeated, just as sick, and just downhearted and complain and do everything just like they do. They're saying, well, you guys tell me there's a great God, and I hear you talking. I mean, I've seen that happen before with people. I've heard people say it to me. They said, well, so-and-so is supposed to be a Christian talking how great God is, and look what he's saying and doing, you see. And people observe these things, folks. And we can kill our testimony if we're not careful. So that'll wrap up tonight what we're talking about with the promises of God and a little bit of a foundation here. But we're going to get into next week more of the promises and ways a little different than what you've heard. But you'll see when you get into them, you'll recognize the thing that's going to make it a better you. They're going to make you a better you, you see. They're going to make them a better me. It's not going to make you better than anybody else, but it's going to make you better. Going to make you better. You're going to be more like Jesus. And you and I certainly need to want to be more like Jesus, don't we? Amen. We want to see our families set free, saved, healed, delivered. And that's what this is about. This is why I'm on this broadcast here, to give the word of God. Because, folks, I'm pressed in like I've never pressed before. This is a time to press in. And I know many of you right now are feeling that in your heart. And I promise you, if you press in, if you draw close to God, he says in James 4:8, he will draw close to you. And that's what he wants you to do. Now, the all-important question tonight is, first of all, you know, I've said all these things. I'm speaking to Christians a lot. This is what this is talking about, a right heart and everything. But you might say, well, tonight I heard that, and that really sounds good about knowing Jesus. But, hey, I don't know this Jesus. I don't know him, so my heart mustn't be right. Well, this is what this is about. This is where we want to have what they call an altar call. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior and Lord tonight. And it's a very simple thing to do. You know, we have to believe, first of all, we're a sinner, and that Jesus died for our sins. He shed his blood. He died. He was resurrected for us. And the Bible says if we come to him and just ask him to forgive us, and become Lord and Savior of our life, give our life to him just by asking him, he'll do it. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So right now, I'm going to ask you to bow your head wherever you're at. And if you want your life to be changed, and you want this Jesus that I've been talking about tonight, and you want these things in your life, and you want that change of life right now, I want you to repeat what I'm going to say in prayer right here, but you must mean what I'm saying here. It's not just these words that does it, because he's looking at your heart. If you mean it in your heart, it'll happen. If you don't, it won't. But he reads your heart. He knows your heart. So repeat after me. And if you repeat this and mean it in your heart, you will be saved. Heavenly Father, I come before you now. I know that I'm a sinner, and I need my life to be changed. I want to be different. I want to turn my life around, Father, and I know I can't do it except for Jesus. Right now, Father, I know that I'm a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He shed his blood. He was resurrected. And right now, Lord, I want to make Jesus my Savior and Lord of my life. I want to give my all to Jesus right now. I want to serve you. I want you just to take over my life completely and help me. I want a new start, a new beginning in you, Jesus. I want that new beginning in you. Now, Father, I thank you since I have called upon Jesus to be Lord of my Savior. my Savior and Lord. He heard me. And you said that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So right now, I called upon Jesus. I asked him to be Savior and Lord of my life. And I acknowledged that I was a sinner. And I know he shed his blood for me and he loves me. So now I am a Christian. I am born again. I am saved. Jesus is my Lord. I am saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, I ask you just to help these men and women who have made this decision right now, Father. Meet them right where they're at and direct their lives, their pathways. Send your labors to them and cause them the desire to go to a church that preaches your word and wants you to be Lord of their lives and will grow and learn of you, Lord. I just pray to just meet everyone right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to ask you, if you've made this decision, email me, or in fact, on my website, extendedhandsofjesus.org. You can contact me there, or Evangelist Montel Williams on the program, you can contact her. Either way right there, contact us. And you'll see this information. If you scroll down where the slides are, you'll see underneath my pictures there, you'll see how you can contact me. You'll see in there about my book. You see about love offerings that you can make towards the ministry that God, my wife and I are doing it full time. It would aid us in our ministry. You see all that right there. And as you read on there, you can have a way to contact us. So you need to look at that, everybody that's made a decision or those that hadn't made a decision, because that's contact. And since we aren't having call-ins tonight, we need you to contact us. So contact Evangelist Montel Fields or contact myself here at extendedhandsofjesus.org and just read down below. Now, I want to have another prayer for those that are sick, those that need a healing and delivered. I'm going to ask you to do something as an act of faith. I'm going to put my hand on my computer. I have my computer in front of me right now. I'm going to touch my computer. I'm going to ask you to put your hands on there right now. This is a point of contact. And I'm going to speak healing over you right now, deliverance, being set free from anything, sickness, disease, any curses. I'm going to break the forces of hell off of you right now. I don't care if you're into pornography or what you're into. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to take authority over these things and break the power of them. And I want you to receive it right now by faith, because it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. Just allow, just see Jesus right now. Just see him coming into you, setting you free. Setting you free, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this program tonight. I thank you for your love and for your power. Lord, right now you said in your word that by Jesus' strength we've been made whole. You said that you come to set the captives free, deliverance to the captives, darkness rebuked, all evil forces broken, destroying the works of Satan. Right now, I just pray. This prayer is my hands are on my computer, as your people's hands are on the computer. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over all sickness, disease, every curse, every force of darkness that's in the lives of these people right now, and I command it to cease. The assignment ends right now in the name of Jesus Christ. All sickness and disease must go. All foul habits, all evil forces must leave these people now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of poverty, spirit of lack must go. Spirit of fear must go. All forces of darkness must leave these people now in the name of Jesus. And I speak deliverance by your spirit. It's not by power, but by your Holy Spirit. These people are being set free and delivered now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I just release that anointing right now. That anointing breaks and destroys the yoke of bondage. The anointing of the Holy Spirit that's going over these airways now. No matter if you're in this country or another state, another country or wherever you might be, there's no distance with God. There's no distance with prayer. So receive it. It's not me. It's not me. It's Jesus. Just see Jesus. Forget about me. Forget about the station and everything else, but just you and Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to set you free, to set you in a new order, in a new place right now. This is a night for you to come forth, a night for you to come forth. Your night in Jesus, because Jesus is always ready. He's always there. Yes, yes, yes. Peace, peace be still. Peace, be still. Be still, because Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus have his way. Let Jesus have his way. When I sign off this program in a few minutes, I want you just to go back and just leave Jesus minister to you. Just leave the Holy Spirit minister, because he wants to work in some hearts and some lives. Whoever you are, I'm asking everybody that's listening to this right now just to leave the Holy Spirit just minister to you, and he will, because he has something to say and do in each one of our lives. Just allow him to have his way tonight. And I want you to please write in the addresses I gave there of Evangelist Fields, Montel Fields, or myself. Please give us a testimony, because we need to know and we'd like to know what God is doing, and we might glorify him. He said in the Psalms 105:1 that make known his deeds among the people. And that's what we want you to do, to make known his deeds, that he will be glorified. And others will hear this testimony. You encourage them to allow the Holy Spirit to set them free also, because that's why we're all in these programs. Every man and woman's on this program right here that you hear on this great station right here feels the same way about it. We desire it. That's why we're all here, for Jesus to minister to you. And we're all blessed. And the greatest thing we can hear is testimonies from you all, the greatest thing. Okay? So I want to invite you all back next week. And for my program, and also not just speaking of my program, but we have other great programs on. If you just look on the schedule right there where you're reading this one, and you'll see what to call the on-demand section, where you hear previous programs of those that you haven't heard. And as I tell people that I know, I say, if you don't get to be on the broadcast and hear it live, go on the on-demand, because you can turn that on to your convenience and listen to it. But please listen to those, because they're powerful teachings of people on there. These are anointed men and women of God. So please do that. And please keep up with us and get in touch with us what's going on, because we're here to serve you. Okay? So I invite you all back next week, and we're going to be getting into some further along. We're going to get along further along here. We laid a little foundation tonight, but we're going to do more next week, and it's going to grow as the Spirit leads me on this thing, because this isn't something I just programmed out. I have a couple weeks planned. I have next week planned, but however the Spirit leads, because this isn't my show anyhow. It's God's program. I know it's mine in the sense that, which I have it, and I'm honored, and I'm really humbled by it, but I know it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me, because anything that belongs to me comes to naught. Anything that belongs to him comes to everything. So it's all about Jesus Christ. So please join us next week. I love you all, and you all have a blessed evening now. Okay? See you next week.